Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Let those who worship evil's might beware my power. Green Lantern's light.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is DC Movie News, bringing you the most up-to-date discussion and commentary within the DC Universe.
Hello, DC Movie News fans. We are back with a very special episode today because, that is right, I have just taken over the studio, like jacked it. I didn't invite Adam, didn't invite Johnny, didn't invite Mike, didn't invite any of them, told them we were canceling the show, and I'm doing a TV Time episode. Did somebody just say Roxy Stryer's TV Time?
Yep.
I heard it too, Roxy.
Here it is. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
DC Movie News, it's time to talk.
TV Time!
That's so good.
I want this to be my ringtone.
Thank you. Yes.
All the time.
It's really good.
That's all
it's
I want.
Really good. That's really Shout good. Out to my friend Matt for making it. Okay, so guys, I am here with some very special panelists.
Hey.
And I brought in the TV experts from our sister network, AfterBuzz TV, and they're each talking about a different show that is coming out in the fall, a DC show. So we're really, really excited for this, and I can't wait for this episode today, starting with my friend, Blake V. What are you talking about, and where can the people find you?
Yes, I am here today talking about iZombie. I've been on the last season's panel here at AfterBuzz TV, and I'm super excited for the season two coming up. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Blake V Media.
Awesome. Thank you, Blake. And going across the table to Michael Drew.
Hey, I'm Michael Drew. I'm going to be talking about The Flash. This is my first time on their panel, season two. And I am excited. You can find me on Twitter at Michael_Drew. Michael E-A-L. That's it.
Very cool. Steve Kaufman.
You guys can find me at Steve Kaufman. That's K-A-U-F-M-A-N-N. And I'm here to talk about Gotham.
Yeah, Tiggle, over on the couch.
Hi, everybody. I'm here to talk about Arrow, mostly because Constantine's going to be on Arrow. And I was on the Arrow panel last year, the year before. I don't know. I'm excited. You can find me online at Yell TV. That's YAEL.TV. Also on Twitter at Yell Tiggle. That's YAEL.TYGIEL.
And Alexis Torres.
Hey, I'm going to be talking about Supergirl because she's just my lady, even though I'm not wearing this awesome outfit that Yale is putting. And you can find me all over the social webs and where all Alexis Torreses are sold at ATorres890.
You know, that's my favorite thing that you do.
Really?
Yeah.
It's the best.
I've never heard that.
Yeah. Where all Alexis Torreses are sold. It's great. It's pretty great. But I kind of want to steal it.
Yeah.
But everyone would know where I got it from. I couldn't even pretend.
I give you permission.
Yeah. Thank you. I'll take it. So, just so you guys know, if you don't watch a show and you want to skip ahead to talking about the next show, which I don't advise, but if you are watching this later and you decide to do that, we are spending about 10 minutes on each show. We're going Arrow, then Flash, then iZombie, then Gotham, then Supergirl, and that's how we're talking about this. So, to kick things off, I'm going to have Yael start talking about Arrow.
Okay, guys, Arrow. Oh my god, I have so much info to tell you.
What an intro, Yael.
Yeah, I narrowed it down. Okay, so first off, the first episode is called Green Arrow. That's right, last season we ended with Oliver and Felicity riding off literally into the sunset. But they are coming back, and Arrow's gone, but now we have Green Arrow. Yeah, that's right. Green Arrow.
Yes. Was there a doubt in your mind that he would come back? Like, did you think he was going to stay in the sunset for a little bit?
If no. The show's over.
No. I said I was so mean. I said at the end of last season, I would be totally okay with that if that's how they wrapped up the show. They wrapped it up real nice, and I was like, oh, like, I'd be okay if the show ended here. Not that I want to, just to be clear.
Yeah.
But, like, I would be okay with it.
Nah.
Okay.
But he's coming back, and he's coming back. I've been waiting for Green Arrow. Because we started with The Hood, which turned into Arrow. And I'm like, are we never going to get Green Arrow? And this season, we're getting Green Arrow. The first episode.
So why should we be excited for Green Arrow, then? Why have you been waiting for it so much? For Green Arrow.
I've been waiting for Green Arrow because that's what I was promised to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
They're finally, season four, you know, giving us what we've been waiting for. We also have a whole bunch of new characters this season. Let me read you some of them. So Damian Dark is coming, which is really exciting because Damian Dark, played by Neil McDonough, Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, and they were teasing that all last season, yeah. And it was like torture because I just wanted to see him, and then we thought that we saw him, and then it was somebody else. So I'm so, so excited. I love this actor, too.
And we've been, I know on the after show we talk about a lot, Diggle needs some protection, and he's getting a costume.
Yes, I'm so happy.
Rumors will finally get to be told that he is the Guardian.
Finally.
That's a rumor. I can't confirm if that's happening. And I saw this amazing photo of the new Arrow headquarters, and it did seem a lot like a Justice League headquarters. Also, rumors that Coast City will be mentioned.
Oh,
cool.
Yeah, there's just so much. There's so much. And I have answers on the Constantine situation, because Stephen Amell had tweeted about how much he wants Constantine on the show. And they're bringing him. And I think the idea is, so he's going to be in episode 5 called Haunted.
So he's only confirmed for one episode.
One episode. Mm-hmm. And the theory going around the web is that he's coming in for the resurrection of Sarah, which leads us into Legends of Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Right. So I think this is how they're going to be connecting it so that we can pick up that show next season.
But are you worried about losing any of our characters to Legends? Like, if it is about Flash or it's about Arrow, are you worried that we're going to get rid of them, or do you think they're just kind of going to bounce around from network to network? I mean, from show to show.
Show. The truth
same
is,
network.
I love the way that CW has seamlessly given us three shows to watch that are telling us three separate stories. It's like when you watch an episode of Arrow, you have the main story and then you have the like subplot.
Mm-hmm.
We have three different shows giving us main stories and subplots that all work together.
Oh, they all interact.
Yeah. And as a TV fan, mm-hmm. I could not want more than that.
Right. I agree. Something I want to bring up though, because we have to, and you talked about the Riding into Sunset, and the chat's kind of going a little crazy on it right now.
Did I anger
them? Yeah. Oh, no. Well,
you didn't anger them.
The chat, much like a lot of folks on the internet, don't like Felicity for some reason.
Well, I have.
I have scoop. That's the sentiment.
I love her. You guys can give me hate all you want. I love her.
I have scoop for the people who don't like Felicity.
Oh, here we go.
She's going to die. Is it that she's going to die?
No.
Because people have been saying that, and it's freaking me out.
I thought
we have Alicia, I'm sorry if I'm saying her name wrong, Rotaru will be playing a new love interest for Oliver, but in flashback sequences.
We're getting a new flashback lover.
Yeah,
that's
the format of the show. We're gonna have flashbacks.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, here's my thing.
Yeah,
I loved Felicity for so long. I thought she was such a badass woman. Mm-hmm. She took care of herself, and she was like very independent lady.
Yeah,
and then this last season, I just have to admit that they butchered her character for me.
Like they took a lot of what made her so good in two seasons. And went, no, we were just kidding. She's the object of someone's affection now.
Oh. Well, exactly.
In the trailer for the new season, we see a new character played by Echo Kellum, who will be playing Curtis Holt, which may or may not turn out to be Mr. Terrific.
Ooh.
And in the trailer, you see a sequence where he turns to her and goes, wow, when did you become so badass? And she, I think, responds like, I always have been this badass.
Yeah,
I know. Like that.
We're getting
something along those lines. That, that's Felicity.
Okay, so what would this season have to do to make Felicity the Felicity that we knew and loved? What would they have to do?
Separate her from Oliver.
Yeah, that's the first thing that they need to do.
That's why everyone keeps saying they want Felicity done.
Okay.
Because that's where we get them both how we want them.
Well, that's why we liked her when she first got into... I mean, we all knew that we loved their chemistry, but at the same time, she was always a better person when she wasn't around Oliver. Personally. So.
And you would want him to be back with Laurel? Or are we thinking that there's just no woman that can be right for Oliver?
Well, no woman can be right for Oliver if Oliver's still going to go around marauding.
Mm-hmm.
which is why I thought the way we ended the season...
That's a fair point.
which is why I thought when they ended the season where he left the city with Felicity, I was like, yeah, if that were the end of his like career as the Arrow and as a masked vigilante... Good for him. He deserves that.
All right.
But the show needed to keep happening.
I think what will, not to predict, as we do so much on After Life, my prediction.
We do that.
Yeah. Is that they're going to realize they need to come back to Star City. That's right. It's now Star City.
Yeah.
Finally. And I think she's going to be the strong, smart Felicity that we've always had, and she's going to put him in his place and say, you need to start doing your Green Arrow duties. You and I can't continue together. I'm going to go back to being the smart, badass woman that I am and help you out. But we can't keep doing this. And they're going to move on and be okay because she's going to find real love.
And then Destiny's Aww. Child, like, independent woman is going to play.
Starts playing.
Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah. And then she's going to do a little dance and, like, a snap. Yeah, yeah, I can see it.
Right?
No, honestly, that's what I need. I need her to be a kick-ass. It's not that I don't think they can end up together because I still have a place for them in my heart because I did love them at some point. But I just need them to focus on not the love interest between them
yeah.
and just mm-hmm. being independent characters that
100%.
Rock.
Yeah.
So what else? Anything else going on in Arrow? In Arrowland?
So much going on. I don't even know where to start.
She has so many pages.
Oh my god. Okay.
You want me to hold some of them?
Okay. No. Ryan Robbins from Falling Skies is coming to play a character named Conklin. Hmm. We have J.R. Byrne from Teen Wolf who's playing Double Down, which is a Flash villain.
Yeah.
Baron Blitzkrieg is coming.
Do we think that they're doing Flash villains so that they can try to do more crossover episodes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Makes We're going to have great crossovers this season.
Okay.
Because they love doing it, and they do it so well.
Yeah, Glenn Winter is awesome.
Because
yeah.
they have... Because they have, like, the big crossover episode where Arrow comes.
Right.
Or where Flash yeah. comes. But then they have the other crossover episodes where it's just, like, the Captain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it's just, like, smaller yeah, yeah. characters from one show goes to another show. Like, I love how intricate that is.
There was discussion about Cisco coming to Star City because we have a new Green Arrow outfit mm-hmm. and we have Diggle's costume, which, obviously, Cisco has to make. Mm. We also have True Blood's Rutina Wesley in an undisclosed character.
Oh, we're getting a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. And, okay. of course, Jeri Ryan as Jessica Danforth, which is maybe not a villain, but a political situation. A mayoral candidate who is deeply committed to her city and willing to risk her life to stand up for these people. But there seems to be a connection with her and Damian Dark.
So let me ask you as the yes. final thing, what are you most excited about going into this next season of Arrow?
That's like choosing.
I know. Like, that's kind of rough.
Yeah, it's a little bit of Sophie's choice here. Yeah.
I'm just excited for it to be back.
Okay. All right.
That's what I want.
The long summer.
Yeah. yeah.
So, yeah, I'm excited for it to be back too, but I think that they really are spoiling us a little bit in the best way because we've already gotten one spinoff, and that spinoff is awesome. And obviously, I'm talking about Flash, so Michael Drew,
yes.
talk to us a little bit about the Flash.
Yes. Okay, well, I'm just going to start with my excitement just to see if I can just piggyback off of Yale's. there's just so much going on with Flash. Like, there's going to be Earth 2, alternate dimensions, alternate realities, and it screams DC. So season one ended off with the huge black hole over Central City and the Flash running up there to save it, to save the day.
Yeah, and everybody was like, what the F is going to happen next? Like, how are they going to pick up for season two?
Yeah, so I think the way they're going to do is they're going to start off with 6 months have passed, and he's a hailed hero. They're loving him. It's very similar to the comic books where, like, that's Flash's connection to Central City is, like, they love him more than probably any city loves their hero. They have statues of him, and it starts off that way.
So they're excited.
they're cheering for him. They're loving him. And Barry will still be struggling with the decision to not save his mom, and Iris still likes him. I mean, well, Iris knows he likes her.
Because he finds out that he can actually run fast enough to go back in time, which we find now he's going to realize if that is worth it or not and all of those things.
Yes. And on top of that, he ends up closing the black hole. Now, when he closes the black hole, it opens a wormhole. And that is where you will get the introduction of all these brand spanking new characters. That is what has me, like, the most exciting. The first character coming in will be Jay Garrick. Jay Garrick is coming to Central City.
Yeah.
And he's kind of going to be, like, I guess the opposite of what a Wells was, in that he's actually a good mentor.
Yeah, well, we've got a bunch of Flashes. We're going to have three of them, aren't
yes.
we?
Yes. We're going to have Wally West, and then we're going to have Jessie Quick is coming. Well,
okay.
Jessica Chambers will also be Jessie. She's also known as Jessie Quick.
Mm. So here's the thing. Are we filling up the Flash with too many? Like, should the show start being called The Flashes? Well, I mean, how are we going to handle this? Because we have so many of them in this one universe. Are we going into what are we going to do?
We had a similar situation on Arrow,
yeah,
right?
That's what I was
where
ask
we
you.
have Speedy, and we had Arsenal, and you know, Arrow, and the Black Archer, right?
Yeah.
We had too much, but it works out because I feel as though not only are teams central, I guess, in our DC world, but also like it always sifts through, and we're like, nah, we don't really need that one. Yeah, we don't need that one either.
I mean, I feel like with DC, I feel like the fact that everyone is just big, I mean, Justice League is such a huge part of everyone's lives who are in DC. I feel like it doesn't matter how many superheroes you throw into an episode or a series or a season, we're still going to love it either way, because that's what Justice League was all about, or even just DC in general. The team-ups are what we crave for, and I feel like that's what made me a fan of it. It's just, I love the teamwork. So yeah. I wouldn't care either way.
I agree, but I do think that Barry Allen is our base, so I want to make sure that nobody, there's no conflict, because if you can't have multiple the fastest man on Earth.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
But I'm most interested in the fact that I trust the DC Universe. Mm-hmm. Like, they've earned my trust throughout the, and I just only seen the first season of Flash. I didn't jump on with Arrow, and because I'm a Flash guy, and they've completely earned my trust. I feel like they have a feel for the characters and the way they introduce the characters, but still spin it off their own way. Yeah. So I'm not too stressed out about it. Even though the Wally West thing, that one kind of irks me, because Wally West was my Flash. And, you know, he's supposed to be really younger than Barry
Allen.
I love
how people call it that, my Flash.
He is, he's my Flash also, yeah. So I'm with you.
Yeah, but that's the beautiful thing about DC, is that, like, they do a good thing of having generations, and everyone has their version of something. And like the last 20 years, Wally West, he was just phenomenal. You know, he's like kind of like in the Dick Grayson vein, in that he was introduced as a kid, and then he grows up, he becomes the Flash, and then he gets the mantle, and he goes through so much. And here he's pretty much the same age as Barry.
So it irks you because you don't know if they're doing justice to the character, or irks you because you think he deserves his own show, or?
I mean, it just irks me on some comic book geek. Continuity. That's just, I mean, I've accepted the fact that it's a television show, and hey, maybe it's just a different reality, which is what DC is known for.
Yeah.
Multiple realities, which you're going to see with this season.
Okay.
So I'm cool with it. And I like the actor that's playing him, even though, you know, he's changed, he's completely changed. I'm cool with it. I mean, I like Wally West.
Okay.
So as long as I get Wally West, I'm interested in seeing what happens.
All right. What else we got going on in Flashland?
Now, this is the character I'm most excited for. So Jay Garrick comes to let them know about the upcoming big bad, like the real super bad coming. Zoom is pretty much Reverse Flash on steroids.
Yep.
And the way they described it is Zoom.
What? Yeah, it's nightmares.
How you really feel? Yeah.
No, like, I have nightmares of that person. Like, it's not a thing.
Zoom so to excited. Flash is what Venom is to Spidey. And they're doing the whole thing in that, like, his costume's going to be organic. And they haven't even chosen who the actor will be behind the mask, because that's going to be the mystery throughout the whole season. But the voice actor is going to be Candyman. Tony Todd.
What?
Candyman.
No way.
Is going to be the voice actor for Zoom. And that is... Nestor Freddy Krueger, no one has scared me more in my entire life than Candyman.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also, just something before I forget, you mentioned costumes. I know that Barry, he's turning his Flash things going white. So what do we think about that? Comic book nerd. Yeah.
Yeah.
True to the comic.
I have a question for Michael. So you don't watch Arrow.
I don't watch Arrow.
Do you feel, because I've heard from a few people that they just stick to the one, do you feel that when there are the big crossovers, which do involve both teams and moving locations, do you feel like you're ever missing something?
No, I think they did such a good job of creating a show that was spun off from something else, but you didn't have to watch Arrow to jump onto it.
Yeah.
Which is why it's so good. And, you know, I want to watch Arrow.
As someone who only watches Arrow and doesn't watch Flash, I can second that.
But I think that it might be a little intimidating to start watching these shows. Like I could bring it over to Blake here for a second. Like, you know that Legend of Tomorrow is coming out. It's not coming until 2016, so, you know, you could have a little time to catch up if you wanted to.
But
it's like, do you want to start one of these CW shows? They have all three of these shows. Are you willing to start something without putting in the legwork of watching bunch of seasons of these two other shows? To me, it would be intimidating.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think, like, as sort of a newcomer or a first-time watcher, for anybody just trying to delve into all of this material, I do feel like it's a lot to grasp and a lot to, like, figure out and understand. I mean, granted, the material's there and it's amazing and entertaining and awesome, and you certainly want to invest your time in figuring it out, but still, it's a little daunting to kind of, like, follow all the storylines and characters and see what's developing.
Right, you're going to stick with Vertigo for now, because it's...
Yeah.
I also think I would not be able to jump in now, because I watched Arrow, and then when Flash came, I did the Tuesday-Wednesday thing, and now, you know, in 2016, when we get Legends Tomorrow, that's going to be three shows and you have to watch them in the right order. And I know that if I hadn't started from the beginning, at this point, I'd be like, I'm not doing it.
That's so funny because that's literally the same issue combo greeters have with comic books.
That,
like, it gets too far ahead. You're like, man, everything's connected. Where do I start? Where do I jump on? Yeah. It's literally the same thing.
That's why
it's so
I had
funny.
To stop at one point because I actually was starting to, like, mesh comics together, and I was like, okay, wait, that didn't happen at that point in time. So I just, like, I had to pick one.
The struggle. That's the struggle.
Also, Stanley has very famously said, in many interviews that he needs to treat every comic book like it's someone's first comic book.
Yes.
And all of these shows and comic books do a very good job that if you just picked it up 1 week and then followed it from that 1 week, you would not be completely lost.
We're constantly fighting on DC Movie News about this because I am newer to comic books. And every time we do a movie, Adam, who's been reading them his whole life, is like, he's like, we don't need to do an origin story. I know the origin story. And I'm like, that is so great for you.
I see the middle ground that if it's...
I think it depends on which character.
It depends if it's a well-known character in a movie we've seen already, like Batman. Spider-Man is another good example.
But I would argue that because I know people who don't know anything about Batman or anything about Superman. Yeah, no, it's true.
But
I
mean,
not
everybody. But they want to get involved.
So I mean, they're obviously
seven. It's
just a thing. Like, I know people culturally who don't know a lot about them. They know that Superman, he can lift a building, but why? And like, they don't know the actual story of it. Like, I know people.
It's easy to follow, though.
It's confusing in this room. I know. But let's get back to some more Flash stuff that's going on.
Okay, so what I said, the last thing I said was Zoom.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So Zoom's coming, so he's going to be the big bad. And on top of that, you're also going to get Atom Smasher. I think Atom Smasher will be the first villain for episode one, which is crazy because in the comic books, he's a hero. So
that's why I was confused.
That might change. That might switch up.
Yeah, but so that's what they're doing with Caitlin Snow and she's supposed to be in with Vibe, so it's difficult to tell who's good, who's bad based on their names or whatever. So.
Yeah. So all this alternate universe stuff, that's where a lot of these characters are going to come in, which is why there's so much story to tell, because now what Eddie Thawne died at the end of season one. He killed himself to kill Ebord. Mm-hmm. Ebord Thawne, who was Wells.
Right.
But now, and since he did that, he pretty much started an alternate timeline.
Right.
So now, since there's an alternate timeline, you're going to get the real Wells is going to come back. And now there's a possibility that Ebert Thawne and Eddie Thawne will still come back, but from a different timeline. Like, there's just so, and it's kind of, it's crazy. There's just so much that can actually happen.
Yeah.
I love time travel.
I know we have to move on.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. But people in the chat are really excited about Edge also, so I wanted to say that.
Edge will be Adam, he'll be Adam Smasher.
Yeah, right. So that's what they're all saying Edge. So they're very excited about what you're talking about.
He's like a good actor too. Every time I've seen him, he's like really got accomplished himself as a good actor now. And the one thing I want to say about Caitlin is I'm most excited for her because I used to also read a Firestorm way back in the day. And she's like, her character, Killer Frost, is a psychopath and she's kind of like his Poison Ivy, I guess. Mm-hmm. Who's a scorned lover who like hates men. And it's crazy to see if Caitlin will become that or if there's going to be an alternate version of her from another universe coming, which will then be Killer Frost.
Yeah.
Because I can't see Caitlin going pure psychopath.
Especially not if she's going to be with Firestorm and all.
And he's a Firestorm villain, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough. It's really tough. I agree. So what is the one thing you are the most excited about going into the second season of The Flash? I think across the board, we all love the first season. So now the second season.
I really want to see The Flashes run together. I want to see Jay Garrick, Wally West, and
Barry Allen.
And Barry Allen run. Just run, because that's a very nostalgical thing with The Flash. There's always that drawing of them
running. I'll hysterically cry. I'm an emotional girl. I'll lose it.
Okay,
thank you for talking to us about Flash.
No problem.
We have
Since we talked about Arrow and The Flash, the Stegman said, by the way, guys, Arrow Season 3 and Flash Season 1 goes on sale for DVD on Tuesday.
Oh, very cool. You guys are listening on iTunes and you're like, who did they just talk about? What's going on? We're on YouTube Live every week, and we're talking to you guys on Popcorn Talk Network. So if you guys want to join, You can join us. We usually go live Thursdays at 2:45 Pacific time. That's not what time it is now, though.
If you're listening to us post-dated, that's exactly what time it is now.
Yes, always on it. Always on top of it.
At this point, it's 3 o'clock.
And as I mentioned that, I do want to say that I didn't jack the studio for that long. We're actually going to do an episode of DC Movie News on Sunday to give you your movie fix, where I guess Mike and Adam will come back. Johnny will still be gone because he's like being funny somewhere.
He's out making jokes.
But, you know, I figured I would take this time to talk about TV, which I'm so excited about. And another show that I love that I want to hear from you about, Blake. I know you're on the iZombie panel and you love this show. So talk to me about what's going on for season 2.
Yes. Okay. First of all, I love the energy in this room because I don't feel alone. I like, have been waiting on the edge of my seat for season 2 this whole entire summer and just been like dying for information. And everyone else is so excited about their shows that I'm like in such good company. And I'm like,
she's like, when do we get to me? When are we going to talk to you?
Like, ready to go. So the first thing that I kind of want to mention, iZombie is a new show. It just got finished with its first season. And, you know, as a viewer, personally, I am a huge horror genre fan. I love, like, anything zombie apocalypse or, like, Halloween or just, like, anything like that, I'm in. So I love that this was sort of, like, a brand new, like, reinvention and blending of, like, zombie kind of macabre stuff with, like, the new generation and, like, technology and iZombie, you know? I feel like it's, like, the perfect sort of gateway to, like, new fans.
Did you know a lot about zombies going into this? Because this was a conversation I had to call my roommate and be like, can you talk to me about zombies a bit? Like,
fill me in.
I know a lot about vampires at this point, but I didn't read the Vertigo series, so I didn't know about this. Is this something you were well aware of?
Yes. A lot about zombies, well aware of the zombie topic. In fact, a lot of things that iZombie introduced during the first season was like contradictory or not really like to the books of like your standard zombie, you know, 101.
And did that Michael Drew piss you off because you're nerdy?
You're not to the book. Yes, how dare you? No. No, but that was sort of part of the great discovery of it all in the first season is how iZombie is reimagining the whole entire zombie world and like what it can be to new viewers and really even old, you know, older viewers, original fans alike. You know, it's like a whole new world. That's super exciting.
That's exactly why I jumped into iZombie. Yeah. Was I don't like horror and zombie and scary things, so I had no interest. And people were like, no, it's funny.
Yeah,
and it's so hilarious. I started watching it, and then the fact that they're like, oh, I thought that zombies were like this, but no, it seems that zombies are like that, and I'm like, oh, this is a whole different world of zombies, and I like these zombies.
Yes, I mean it's wonderful. They really are breaking down the walls of like what your traditional idea of zombieism could be,
which is perfect because zombies historically were at like very early parts of literature. They were just like, I think they were the Walking Dead that a voodoo master would control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it wasn't until George Romero wanted to make a alien invasion movie, but didn't have the budget to make an alien invasion movie, that he redefined
to the zombie.
He redefined what zombies were.
You can't have a spaceship, you know. You got to just put some makeup on.
The makeup is really cheap.
You do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But how effective was that?
Yes.
I mean, historically, like just emotionally, visually, horror-wise, like I mean, George Romero. There's no comparison.
Yeah, you don't talk about. Okay, so for season 2, though, what do we got?
Okay, so we have so much. Our last season finale ended us with just like the worst cliffhanger in the history of life. It was literally the most stressful episode I've ever seen, ever, of anything.
Jeez. I told you I'm a crier.
I mean, it was all of it. Like, truly. The whole entire season brought us, you know, to many places, but the finale just threw everything at us and then made us wait until this new season 2. So where we left off was Major, who was Liv's sort of previous love interest, and they've kind of had some back and forth, he was sort of trying to figure out this whole zombie thing and if it's a reality or not. He straight up turned completely Rambo style and decided like he was going to take everything into his own hands and like find those zombies.
Not very CW too, like bloody gory.
It was disgusting. Yeah. I loved it.
It was amazing. Like his whole moment was just like a shining moment in the finale. It was fantastic. We also saw that Peyton and Ravi were sort of having a love connection and he was kind of left at the very end of things. Meet Cute, where David Andrews' character Blaine was sort of setting up shop and kind of giving, you know, business to the zombies, got completely blown up by Lieutenant Suzuki in this whole mess of
Lieutenant Suzuki. All right. I just like the name.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's wonderful. They have great names in this show, too. It's fantastic. Robbie found a cure. Liv tried to administer this. Blaine is now human.
But only one.
It's seriously crazy. Yeah. And then the kicker of it all was that at the very end, we find out that Liv's brother is in the hospital. He'd been injured in this explosion at Meet Cute. He was trying to work there and get a job there. And they've asked Liv to donate blood to the cause.
Because she's the only one who has the like blood type or something.
Yes.
Right.
Oh,
okay.
Like, what is a zombie to do?
So
right?
Do we know? Do we know what a zombie is to do?
We don't know.
Oh, we don't know.
And that is what we're waiting for in the season 2 opener. Okay. Which we're hoping to find out in the opener. But that's where we left off. So it was like the cliffhanger of the century. It was just like, all these things, what's gonna happen? So we got a really good interview actually on TV Line with the creator, Rob Thomas, and he unleashed a whole bunch of really awesome information. Okay. The first thing is very cool about some casting, some new people that we can look for in the new season. Robert Knepper, who was previously of Prison Break and Heroes, he has been cast as Blaine's dad, which is fantastic. I feel like I can already kind of see like the visual.
I love when the stars align like that. Yeah.
It's like perfect. So I'm super excited to see what his interaction with Blaine is going to be, especially now that Blaine is human.
Yeah.
Also, for all you Veronica Mars fans out there, that's another huge thing with this show, is that anybody who knows Rob Thomas is like huge fans of Veronica Mars. So there's always that sort of connection with iZombie.
Yeah.
And we do have another Veronica Mars actor who's going to show up. Adam Rose is going to make a cameo in season two, which is very exciting.
Cool.
Also, Rob Thomas himself, he is personally dying to have a lot of Veronica Mars cast members reintroduced into iZombie because it's part of his heart and soul. And this is not confirmed in any way, shape, or form. In fact, he said it would sort of be sacrilege if he did this. But he's really, really hoping for the actor who played... Sorry, just a moment. The actor who played...
Okay. There's a lot of people coming.
There's like so many names to keep track of. Enrico Colantoni.
Oh.
Who played Veronica Mars' father in Veronica Mars. So we have a lot of questions about who Liv's dad is in the series. And the person who was doing this interview was sort of saying, wouldn't it be amazing if he reappeared as the father? No confirmation, but that would be so exciting, right?
Very cool. Yeah. I just want to do one thing in the chat right now. Yeah. They're saying that she said no as her last line and walked away. I think that the point is, though, just because she said no doesn't mean that we know no is no.
Right.
Because no means no, Kobe. I'm just going to throw that one in there.
Maybe she knows.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe she knows that no means no.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Maybe. So anyway, just shouting out to the chat. Sorry. Continue.
Totally. Yeah, no worries.
And Robert Knepper was also Clock King on Arrow and Flash. Thank you, Greg. It's awesome.
Perfect. See, it's like a DC family. I know. Yeah. It's amazing. It's so amazing. So another really cool thing is that I spoke today to Malcolm Goodwin, who actually plays Detective Clive Bavineau on iZombie.
Like you picked up your phone and you just chatted.
I did. I was like, what up, Babs? Babs is also what we call him on the after show. It's a little nickname. He likes it. We've started a thing. Babs. I was sort of chatting with him through social media and got, you know, I knew I was coming here today, so I wanted to bring the scoop to everyone. So,
God, I'm so excited.
It's seriously cool.
Tell us!
Yeah, he gave a lot of good information. Okay, so first of all, one of the biggest questions that we had during season one was we wanted to know so much more of Babs and, like, his personal life outside of being the detective. Right. We didn't really get to know a lot of him on a personal level. So in season two, we have so much in store. Like, we're going to get to know a lot of him on a personal level. He even finds a lady friend.
Ooh.
Some love in Babs' life.
CW like, comes through.
Yeah. Oh, my word.
Truly. It's getting exciting.
Gotta dig watching up. Yale's reaction is priceless. Yeah.
Keep going.
I know. There's so much more. One of his favorite moments of the entire season coming up is watching even more of Liv's transformations. So that's one of the things that we got to know with iZombie is that, of course, she eats the brains of various, you know, victims, essentially, and sort of takes on bits of their personality. And this season, she is, like, killing it like no other. No pun intended. There we go. Just truly, like, above and beyond from season one, Malcolm just really said he was just so taken and just impressed and enthralled by everything that Rose McIver was doing.
Ditto.
Yes, she's fantastic.
Him and me both.
Yeah. She's amazing. So amazing. Also, another thing that might take us by surprise, he said, is Major's storyline. So we already got to see that Major's, like, really not afraid of getting business done, like we've seen in season one. And so we kind of were left wondering, like, what is Major's future in all of this? Like, how invested is he really going to remain, and, you know, his future with Liv? Apparently, he has an extremely exciting storyline in season two, and Malcolm just said it really is going to take everyone by surprise. It's just amazing.
Okay. I also heard just a few little things that I read.
Yes, please.
I read that there may be a Blaine, everyone's been talking about Blaine and Liv relationship.
Yes.
And I heard some teasing that that might end up going, and that the cure may not last at all. So,
yes. Which is just at all.
At all. Like, I mean, I was going to say it may not last very long, but, like, if it doesn't last long, then it doesn't last.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Totally. That is an extremely good point, actually, because, you know, we sort of left on this last finale with the cure bringing hope to everything. Like, oh, okay, Blaine is human, and she tried to use a little bit on Major. And, you know, there's, you know, Ravi found this potential cure that may or may not change the entire scope of the show. So the fact that it may not work at all is very probable. Like, I think that sort of makes sense, because if it did, where would we be?
Oh, when you have hope, you're screwed.
Yeah. I just, prediction.
Okay. All right. Let's have it.
If it's a temporary cure, Liv can get the cure, donate the blood to her brother, become zombie again.
All right, boom. I can see it. Or people in the chat think that the brother might just die, so that would be
he might just die.
Okay, so I have to have you wrap up, but what is the thing you are most excited about for the second season?
Okay, I know we just mentioned it and we spent the last moment talking about it, but the cure! Yeah. Like, that's truly what I was hanging off of, you know,
just
with the finale, is like, what is going to happen with this?
Yeah.
And especially with Blaine's character having sort of become human already, a lot of that is being written into the second season of how he's going to live as human until the cure may or may not wear off. So a lot of that is happening in the first bit of the season, and sort of him continuing to live life as a zombie, even though he may be human.
Yeah, I'm ridiculously excited for that too. What's going on, chat ladies in the corner?
the howling fan Todd said, "Just arrived. Who's the new lady?" And I was like, "Which one?"
All right, fair enough.
There's a lot of new ladies here.
I have fear of missing out. I have major FOMO. So when I see people laughing in a corner, like, I just got to call it out. Okay, so we have now finished with the CW network. That's pretty much it, except for Legends, which is coming out in 2016. They're really making us wait for it. And they are giving us pretty much nothing, like kind of some teasers, but not too much. We just know that there's a kick-ass group of people going on to it.
Yeah.
So all the CW shows are really... really doing well. Alexis, what's up?
No, because the people in the chat earlier, before we actually even started the show, were wondering how we felt about the costumes and
Legends?
How they were done. Yeah, for Legends.
Mm. Yeah. I think that CW has nailed these costumes.
I agree.
I really think that they have. And also, people talk about CW's budget being pretty low sometimes, and if that's true, I don't even know if that's true.
What?
But if
that
it is,
can't be true.
But if it is, then I think that they're doing a lot with a little, and that they're doing a pretty good job.
Yeah. Every time I see a new CW show, I go, oh, yeah, I'd cosplay that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I think about the costumes.
I love the nerdiness going on. Okay, so I want to move over to Steve to talk a little bit about Gotham, which is the show that I got to tell you I am the most nervous to talk about. I'm a little nervous, so I want to know, what do you got for us?
I'm excited for this one.
Last year, that nervousness would be a little more founded. I think they finally found their footing.
Okay, all right. So I need you to now convince me.
Yes.
Okay.
All of us.
Yes, please.
I'm comparing this to anyone who's telling me they don't want to come back. I'm comparing this to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
First season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., little wonky. Second season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., as we all know, to the moon.
Yeah, and by the way, you're allowed to watch Marvel shows. It's okay.
Okay, cool. I thought I was being...
It's okay.
You stepping out of line. You love how quiet it went when you mentioned that. I was just like, I'm going to watch this happen.
You've mentioned a lot of Marvel.
Watch your mouth.
Don't worry about it. I have, like, X-Men nails. You're good to go.
I think we're
okay.
We're all good here.
No, we actually get... If we ever bash Marvel in any way, shape, or form, we get a lot of hate on here. So we all love Marvel. We love comics. We love DC. Here we are talking about DC.
It's all good.
You're allowed.
initially, they were... Gotham was renewed for season two a little bit ago, like January, and it was initially supposed to be 16 episodes. It's been bumped to 22 episodes. So we're going to get a full 22 episode run of Gotham.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yes.
This is a selling. This is the selling show.
This is. But that's part of the news to say. And what it is Penguin is kind of in charge of the city now. And
as part of Rise of the Villains?
As part of Rise of the Villains, yeah. There is also Jessica Lucas and James Frayne are playing
James Frayne.
Tabitha Galavan and Theo Galavan, their brother and sister. As far as I'm aware, they're not a part of the DC canon.
Good.
But they're playing rich, aristocratic, bureaucratic folk in Gotham.
It's like Fish, though, where we're not nobody who's been involved before.
Correct.
Okay, got it.
And that's what I want more of. That's what I want more of on Gotham, is I want more, hey, let's have a sandbox, and then create our own characters in that sandbox.
Okay. Mm.
So the other part of that is the Riddler is obviously confirmed. The Joker, they keep saying the Joker. I don't know in what incarnation I'm going to see the Joker. Mr. Freeze, and then lesser confirmed, but I've heard their names, Clayface, Mad Hatter, Calendar Man, Hugo Strange.
Okay, so here's my biggest question. Now, here's the thing, because I'm not a hater of Gotham. I watched every episode, and I didn't hate it. It was lacking a few things for me. And my biggest problems were the fact that, number one, there were too many of our favorite villains, mm-hmm. and they put them on too soon. Yes. And number two, that I didn't know why Fish's character wasn't somebody who was a character in the DC universe. I wanted it to be somebody awesome. It could have been anybody. So those are the two things that bothered me. And now I feel like they're taking those two things and amplifying them so that there mm-hmm. are more villains and more characters that aren't involved in this world. So should I be worried about that?
No. Okay. Not at all. Because they finally have a chance to do what they've wanted to do.
Let me be clear. I watch the show. I watch every episode. I want to know what you think.
Me too. I watch every episode, too.
Same here.
I'm rooting for Gotham.
Wait, hold on, guys. Do what they want to do.
Do what they want to do, which is make a cop show in Gotham City.
There you go.
Okay.
I would shut up and take my money. Like, that would be a thing.
Also, yeah. Let's be clear. They're not playing with the canon at all.
No.
Yeah.
They're making their own show.
Yeah.
So their Riddler and their Joker and their Mr. Freeze and their Mad Hatter aren't the DC's anything. And might not necessarily be considered the Joker. This Joker looks to be less than 20 years old.
Yeah.
And he's in Arkham with Barbara Keane.
With that one clip that they released.
Yeah.
Because they decided that was the clip that was going to sell us, which I had such a hard time with. I'm being honest.
I'm with you on that.
Okay,
I'm still sold on the show.
Okay.
That clip was not the clip that sold me.
Yeah, which makes me nervous because I want to make sure that, like, if they are looking at this season and they're thinking, all right, we're going to sell them, and this is the clip that's going to leak, then I can't trust those people that are doing that. But I still believe that there could be a really good show here. Like, I don't think we've gone too far. I think that they can turn this ship around. I don't even think they need to turn it around, just like turn it to the left a little bit.
And that's what it looks like they're doing. There's also Michael Chiklis is playing a brand new character Captain Nathaniel Barnes.
Yeah, and you can't hit on that because Michael Chiklis is just amazing.
Right.
And
it's Michael Chiklis playing a cop.
Which means it's going to be great.
Happening. He's a captain who's just running roughshod through the whole place trying to make it less corrupt.
Yes.
Like, that's literally his wheelhouse.
How are we handling the fact that at the end we actually have a Batcave, but it's not the Batcave?
It's not going to be the Batcave. It's his dad's secret lair.
But it's not a Batcave.
It's going to be the Batcave when he's older, but it's not the Batcave.
All right.
See, that doesn't bother me. That right there is cool.
It's own show.
Yeah, that's fine. I can't completely, like, trash the show because I will watch it every single time it comes on.
Me too.
It hurts because I agree with you that I feel like they're just rushing everything.
Yes.
And I'm like, give it some time. Let it bake. Let it marinate.
Although,
just chill out.
My one prediction on all of this is that we have Theo and Tabitha Galavan, who are fairly new characters to this universe. I think, and they're pretty much empowering all these villains for this entire season. We're going to get a slew of villains, and it doesn't feel like it's going to be villain of the week as much as it's going to be a mob of villains that you have to take down by the end of 22 weeks. I think those two are either League or the Court of Owls, which is what I felt the whole time.
It should have always been that.
I think it always was. They've just been slow burning to it, but I think he's in charge of the Court of Owls. And if it's not the Court of Owls, I think Theo Galavan is Ra's al Ghul.
Ooh.
Wow. Yeah, boom. I heard about that and I was like, whoa.
I can. That makes sense because this show. The show does what it wants.
Yeah, makes sense because the show makes no sense.
Well, it does. We've already had the same actors that are playing in Gotham that are in Arrow and Flash, so we can have our own. Yeah, there's no connection here. So it does. It does what it wants. I just want it to do something that I want.
It's a little selfish. I read an article today. I read a lot of articles about nerdy things that said that the CW shows are their own universe. Gotham's going to be its own universe. DC movies are their own universe, and they like it that way.
And did it mention Supergirl being its own universe too?
I believe so. Yeah. So it's just they do it on purpose. DC and Warner Brothers wants these things to be separate so that people can play around and be as creative as they want.
Yeah, because I feel like it will get too muddy if we decide to just really just cross over
everything.
We don't
know what year it is in Gotham. They go out of their way to make Gotham this timeless place where the computer monitors are this big.
And they have flip phones.
And they have flip phones. Yeah. And it's just... And it's not a matter of convenience. They seem to be pretty steadfast in, like, this is a timeless place where we could use GPS technology, but we probably don't. And then we get to have them go out and do just gritty police work.
Okay. Yeah. So what are we most excited about then for going into the second season? And the end of your pitch here is like, you got to tune into the second season.
You got to tune into the second season because I think by the end of the second season, Gordon is going to become Commissioner Gordon.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's my second prediction. I only allowed myself two predictions here.
No, I think it's awesome. And that's
a big job.
That's my favorite part of the show. I think he does an amazing job.
Ben McKenzie is so good on that show.
He's so
good. It's crazy.
Yeah. He is so good. So
I didn't watch the OC, so I'm like, who is this guy?
He's very talented. And honestly, if they focus a little bit more on him and we stick with him, I think that we can be doing good things.
Can I ask, do you care about Bruce?
Like, at all?
Yeah.
As, like, a human?
No, as a character.
No, yeah.
Watching the show as a fan, do you go, yeah, we could ignore this Bruce story?
We could.
Okay.
I kind of like it.
I'm okay with having it, but it could not be there.
I'm so much more interested in Alfred and Selina.
Yep.
And I don't care about Bruce.
So, Selina is an interesting character in herself, but we have to move on. We got it.
Also, Dr. Leslie Tompkins is evil.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. 100%.
Just hashtag evil Dr. Leslie.
He's like, I'm only going to make two predictions, and by the way, here's my third one.
No, that's a fact.
I love it, though. No, I love it. Okay, we are moving on to a different world over here. A show that's going to be on CBS for its first season. So we can't talk about what happened because it's brand new. Alexis, talk to us about Supergirl.
So Supergirl. Nobody understands how Supergirl is just a giant part of my life. I watched the 1984 movie when I was like real, real little, and it stuck with me forever. So when I heard, or I'm sorry, when it leaked in like in like May of this year, the trailer, I was just kind of like, yes. But at the same time, I did have hesitations like everybody else did. But I know that they are premiering in October of this year, and it's pretty much just the writers and the directors of this are all from Arrow, and like Glenn Winter is going to be part of it. He worked on Smallville, he worked on the Arrow and Flash combos, and then you have Andrew, who's the co-creator of Arrow and the Flash, and then just the lineup is not a lot of like known actors, which I'm okay with. I know a lot of people are kind of
the guy from Broadway in the last 5 years, what's his name, like Jeremy Jones.
Yeah, so stuff like that. We have Melissa, who's due to be Supergirl, and then we have, the one thing I wanted to ask the group is, how do they feel about the new, well, not the new, but James Olsen, everybody knows Jimmy.
Yeah,
everybody knows Jimmy. I know that when I've watched Superman and Supergirl or anything like that, Jimmy's always been kind of like the sheepish, kind of weird, kind of like, you know, that, but I mean, there's nothing wrong with confidence. I never said that. But I feel like it's weird for me to see this new Jimmy who's kind of just like, hey, girl. And I'm like, what's happening?
That's the only thing that stood out to me in the trailer.
Yeah.
I was just like, who is this? Wait,
when you say trailer, do you mean pilot? Because you watched it? So just the trailer.
Okay. I haven't seen the first look that came out.
Can we assess who actually watched this pilot?
So, yes, like, yeah,
I watched this pilot.
Who are the pieces of shit that whatever watched it?
I got a screener. I don't know what you're talking about.
Same. So
send me your screener.
Yeah. I will.
Okay.
Just don't question where it came from.
All right. And I've also seen the trailers. And some of which have more stuff than the pilot does. So
okay,
so you watch this and you were irked by it.
Well, who's this like He's supposed to be a socially awkward individual. He's like this 6'4", like his abs are bulging through his shirt. I'm like,
I like this new gym.
No. There's nothing wrong with it. I just, as a person, I know that we always talk about canon and the fans and things like that. You know, as a person who grew up with this, even seeing like Superman animated and Batman animated, like all that kind of stuff, Jimmy has always been a sheepish, clumsy guy. But again, I'm okay with it. I just wanted to know what everybody else thought.
But I also think people can change. That's what they're saying. Especially if you hang around with Superman for, like, ever.
Yeah.
If that doesn't change
you. But don't show
you.
Him. But you can't show him.
Of course not.
He can hang around.
That's a different show.
You can't show him on the screen.
That's it.
Well, let me ask, how do you guys feel about, though, that we can't see Superman on Supergirl? That they're straight up telling us, like, he is in this universe, but we are not seeing him.
I'm okay with that. Yeah, I'm okay with it because I feel like it's going to... I don't think it's necessarily going to defocus from her, but I would rather just focus on her because everyone's just going to be excited for Superman.
Yeah.
It'll give her moment.
Yeah, and
she
I think it's her
best
time.
Part of the pilot.
I wish that if we were going... Like, great, he's in this universe, but he shouldn't be interacting with this universe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
he's busy.
I'm totally fine with we're in a universe where he exists. I don't like the, there's a message from your cousin or whatever he says. Mm-hmm. Like, either he's here or he isn't.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Although, but if you live in a universe where he's there and that's his cousin, we can't ignore that.
He's going to email you.
He's going to
email you. Cousin's contact you.
He's going to drop a line.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's that. I know that there's going to be a lot of cameos and stuff like that for, like, the original Supergirl, Helen Slater, is going to be there. I don't know what role she's playing yet. I have to dive into it a little bit more, but she is going to be in the series. We do have Lois Lane's younger sister, who's going to be part of there as well.
Jenna DeMontano!
Yeah, she's playing Lucy Lane. So I just... Everything that I've been seeing so far is definitely... they said that it is not going to be part of the CW, like, Arrow or Flash. Like, that's not being... The stories are not going to...
Well, it's interesting because it was offered to CW and CW passed on it, and CW recently came out and said that they wish that they hadn't passed on it. So that makes me think that they think this is going to be a good show. It didn't seem like CW wasn't willing to do a crossover. It seemed like CBS really wasn't willing to do a crossover, and they said that it's because Supergirl has a wider audience than that those other
they
shows.
They mean bigger budget.
Yeah. Yes.
They mean CBS can afford to do Supergirl at their margins with their risks. And CW can't.
Right. So, I mean, the CBS and CW, it wouldn't be a conflict of interest because it's the same parent company. Right. But, you know, we'll see if they budge on that.
I just know that they said in the Wikipedia that they wanted to keep Supergirl as just Supergirl. Like, CBS wanted to keep it as their own instead of trying to share it with a bunch of other stuff. I mean, that's not a complete direct quote. That's just what I was summarizing.
But that's also fair.
Yeah. No, I completely agree.
Why would you want to send people to a network that's not your own network?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
So, like I said...
And a show that doesn't... And also, Supergirl shoots in Los Angeles.
Yep.
And Arrow and Flash shoot in...
Vancouver,
right? Yeah. Vancouver.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I get it. Okay. Yeah.
The West Coast. Toronto.
All right. So, Alexis, talk to us about what is the thing you're most excited about. We got Supergirl coming up.
I mean, I'm mostly just excited to see how it takes off and how people attract to it. I'm excited because this is the... I know that they tried to do Wonder Woman on TV. That obviously didn't work out. But I'm more excited at the fact that we have a female superhero that's pretty well known to a point. And then maybe people that, again, I know that people are like, who doesn't know who Supergirl is? There might be people who are out there that, you know, little girls can look up to now and know the story of Supergirl. And I think that would be the best thing. And also another villain that's going to be in there is also a woman. Her name's Livewire, if you don't know who she is.
Yes.
She's going to be played by Britt Morgan, and she's also going to be part of the show.
I'm here.
I just feel like it's just going to... I love female villains. Exactly. I love female villains. I mean, I'm wearing my Harley Quinn shirt or dress today, but like, it's just cool to see. I love my men. Love my superheroes. They're awesome. But it's kind of nice to have a female in there that might actually do really well.
I agree.
You know?
I agree. So I'm really excited for this fall lineup. There's a lot of great shows going on. And then everybody has to know to look forward in 2016 to Preacher, to Legend of Tomorrow, to Lucifer. And of course, DC's got animated series going on as well. Yes, we have our DC movies coming out too.
Yes.
And I don't roll my eyes because I'm not excited. I roll them because this is DC movie news, and I swear we'll get you your movie news. But I did just take over for TV time, and I think it went pretty damn freaking well.
Yeah.
Okay, so another show that I just want to tell you guys about really quick, not a DC show, but a great show that's coming out on Sunday, September 27th. It's a series premiere of ABC's highly anticipated new drama, Quantico. Quantico is where the FBI trains their top recruits. Over 100,000 young people apply, and only 1,200 get in. That's not a lot. They're the smartest, strongest, and have the best skills. Now they must live and train together under one roof, but everything changes when a massive terrorist attack strikes in America, and the FBI discovers its greatest fear, that one of their top Quantico recruits is a terrorist. Which one is behind it all and became a traitor? It's an edge-of-your-seat drama with twist after twist after twist. Priyanka Chopra stars in one of the television's top new shows of the fall. Don't miss it. The series of Quantico. It's on Sunday, September 27th at 10, 9 Central on ABC. It's called Quantico, Sunday, September 27th on 10, 9 Central on ABC. Sounds really good. So make sure, on top of all the DC shows, that you are also checking out this show, and that you guys are checking out our after shows on AfterBuzz TV, which is why you guys are all experts, because you've been hosting these shows over there. So I really appreciate you guys all coming in, starting with you, Blake. If people want to keep the conversation going with you, especially about iZombie, where can they find you?
Oh, yes. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Blake V Media. And thank you so much for having us today. This was so much fun and really exciting to talk about all these shows we love.
Thanks for thanking me. That's so cute. Thanks. All right, moving across the table. Michael.
Hey, you can find me on Twitter at Michael_Drew, Michael EAL. And we needed 40 more minutes.
Yeah. Straight up. I'll take over again. I'll bring you guys back in. Mid-season.
You guys can find me at Steve Kaufman. And that's KAUFMANN. I'm doing 5 shows starting next week. I'll be tweeting about those regularly. Ooh. That includes The Muppets, Heroes Reborn, Gotham, Modern Family, and this Sunday night, Night of Champions wrestling pay-per-view.
Woo! Oh, yeah. Yeah, what's up?
You can find me online at yell.tv. There you'll find all the shows I'm doing here on AfterBuzz, including Doctor Who, which is this weekend. Also, I'll be tweeting about it on Twitter and Instagram at yellteagle. That's YAELTYGIEL.
And again, you can find me where all Alexis Torres's are sold, or in the booth at our new studio that's coming up soon at atorres890. Don't forget, I do vlogs every week called Hump Day Vlogs. You can find that at youtube.com. Well, it's on Wednesdays. youtube.com/atorres890. Also, I'm doing a Q&A for all the networks here, so just send me your questions on my YouTube page or Twitter. And again, that's atorres890.
Awesome. Yay. And you guys can find me at Roxy Stryer. You can find us everywhere at Popcorn Talk, popcorn.network. You can find us on Twitter at DC Movie News SK. And you guys can find us on Facebook and everywhere where all DC movie news are sold.
Yes.
And of course, you can find Adam Gertler at Adam Gertler, Johnny LaQuasto at Jay Quasto. They will be back with me, Mike Kalinowski at Mike Kalinowski. And we will be doing a Sunday show where we're talking about movies. But I have had the best time. Thank you guys so much
thank
for coming
you, Roxy.
On.
Yeah, thank you so much,
thank you.
Roxy.
It's time for Roxy's Jazzy Time.
We did it.
Yes. Jonathan, I love you. Who thinks that the flash is fine? I really do.
DC movie news, it's time to talk.
TV time. Thank you, guys.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.